protecting the rights of people who experience disabilities from job, housing, and other kinds of discrimination is at the heart of the Americans with Disabilities Act. More than 30 years after the act was passed, how well is it working, and what else do advocates want to see changed? July is Disability Pride Month. We'll discuss how Alaskans will honor the progress that has been made and continue the work today on Talk of Alaska.
Funding for Talk of Alaska was made possible in part by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and listeners just like you. Thank you.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential and anonymous domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Alaska Natives. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by using the chat now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. This message sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. I grew up with a dad who had a disability, a very small atrophied right arm from a birth accident. The discrimination that I saw him face throughout his life was part of what led me into journalism. The ADA was put in place when my dad was at the tail end of his working life, and the difficulties he experienced were different and likely not as hard to handle as for people who have mobility, sight, or hearing disabilities. July is when advocates raise awareness about our family and community members who have disabilities. And here to help explain the progress that has been made and the work that remains is Rick Nelson. Rick is a member of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And Rick is also the Advocacy and Outreach Manager for the ARC of Anchorage. Hello, Rick.
Hello. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. And also with Rick is Dean Paul. And Dean is helping Rick today so that we can make sure that all of our listeners can understand all of his comments. So Dean is helping out in that way and helping to interpret for Rick. Also with us in the studio is Heidi Lieb-Williams. Heidi is the current chair of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, how are you?
I am well and so happy that you're here and with us.
Thank you for having me.
And yeah, thanks so much for being here. And Jenna Crafton is here. Jenna is the chair of the Disability Pride Planning Committee and is also on the council. Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
Nice to have you back on. Yeah, it's great to have you back on with us. So later in the program, we'll also be joined by Corey Gilmore, who is the former chair of the council and will be talking to us about some disability legislation that he's working on. You can also join us. Are you participating in events in your community to mark awareness of Disability Pride Month? Or do you have a story of overcoming disability challenges and getting a job or an education? Are you looking for guidance for yourself or a family member in accessing services? You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. So let's get started here. Heidi, would you start us off, please, with an overview, just sort of a bit of an overview, about the ADA and what it does? What were some of the problems that people with disabilities grappled with before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed?
Yes, so the ADA does stand for America with Disabilities Act that was passed over 30 years ago, and we are celebrating it, I believe, July 21st is the magic day that it went into effect. So one of the things that the ADA did was allow people with disabilities to be able to start a new era in regards to making it a point that we could begin living a meaningful life, which is something that we all desire. It is something that has been put into law for the developmental disability vision here in Alaska real recently. And it has moved through the years to be able to allow people with disabilities to have dreams and goals that were unable to prior to that law being passed, and then allowing lots of legislation, lots of laws, additional type laws come in on a statewide and federal thing that allows people and families to have access to services that were needed in order to even live a daily life. The ADA difference that it makes and that we celebrate and that we continue to pursue even today is that life will continue to drastically be better than today for people with disabilities and their families as we look to the future. The world's outlook, we're hoping that they will become more valuing of what we actually have to offer and provide what we need without the difficulties that we have today. And some of the struggles that we deal with now would vanish completely in our future, having more dreams and goals of ours come to fruition for all of us across the U.S.
I love that. What a inspirational statement. And I love that you see that there has been progress. There's still more work to do. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of that. But thank you so much for what feels like a real good amount of progress. And of course, that means that there's still other things that are left to be done. But I'm glad to hear that it's a positive report overall. Rick, would you like to add to this about the accomplishments that have come about because of the ADA, and you know what has improved because of it?
So
some of the accomplishments have been that people with disabilities
are able to
work. Are able to access the health care that they need. And they're able to live in a home of their own choosing.
Yes, you know, and for a lot of folks, those sound like such basic things. And the fact that people that experience disabilities have had to fight for those basic rights for a very long time is of note. So thank you for noting those things that had to be put into legislation to help people access what others find to be just basic, normal things. Jenna, you're the chair for the planning committee for this month's celebration. Talk a little about that. What will be happening to be celebrating in July?
So we're going to celebrate it online, and it's not in person this year because it's still COVID and nobody feel comfortable around people. So we're just going online, and it's live, and we have all disability people coming together and interviewing. I'm interviewing someone. Rick is interviewing somebody, and we have other interviewers, and we have some local people we interviewing too. And it's a great for disabilities to be healed.
Yes, absolutely. And when you talk about the interviews, are you going to be interviewed or talking with people about their experiences and gathering that information to disseminate to others?
So I have an interview that I am interviewing somebody else that have a disability.
Mm-hmm. And then Talk about how you'll do that and where that will be captured so that can people then listen to that interview later?
I think so. I think you can listen later. But it's also live, too. White Rick?
Yeah, Rick.
It's going to be on Facebook Live. Every day of the next week. We're going to do it Monday through Friday at 12 o'clock. And that interview is going to be on our Facebook page.
For a whole day.
For a whole day.
All right. So people will be able to access it there and listen to those interviews. That'll be a great educational effort, too. So this is kind of to all of you, but talk about what you are celebrating, the tenets of the ADA and how it's helped people experiencing disabilities, increased education, raising awareness. Are there some new wins for access that you'll be celebrating? Or what, when you think about celebrating during the month, what exactly are you celebrating? Jenna, what does that mean for you?
For me, I like to have all disabilities come together and just talk about disabilities and make the next generation for disabilities more, have them living formal disabilities, like the next generation, make them more easier than us, because we fight for us and we help in the other generation out too.
All right. And Heidi, for you, what's at the heart of the celebration for you?
Well, for me, it's about honoring a person's uniqueness as a beautiful part of celebrating who we are as individuals, helping to change people's attitudes, see things in a new light, using our abilities to empower others by telling our stories to change lives and make a difference. We celebrate how far we've come, our successes, contributing our talents, and reminding people to enjoy things that some people take for granted. Whoever we are, we all have a purpose, and we're celebrating learning and understanding and education and being a friend and a supporter, and then having people see the awesome things that we have to offer. Because for me, when we're given wings to fly, you know, be excited to watch us soar. And then I just personally go out there, I share my testimony of what God's done to connect pieces, to break barriers, and fulfill the purpose that He has for each of us. So.
All right. And Rick, how about for you? What do you think about when you're celebrating during this month?
What I celebrate is that I have a disability.
Because
it's unique. It brings a different aspect to the world. People don't see that unless they themselves experience a disability. Or have a family member.
Or a friend
that has a disability. And that changes their mindset. On how to interact with that person. Or the world of people that have all different kinds of disabilities.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much. That awareness is so important, and just interaction so that people understand that we're all just people, despite how we look different, that we all want basically the same things in life, and we all need to come together to support each other. If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking about Disability Pride Month, which is in July, and our guests in the studio today are Rick Nelson, who is a member of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And Rick is also the advocacy and outreach manager for the Arc of Anchorage. With him today is his friend and interpreter, Dean Paul. Also in the studio is Heidi Lieb-Williams. Heidi is the current chair of the Governor's Council. And also with us is Jenna Crafton. Jenna is a member of the Governor's Council and also is the chair of the Pride Events Organization. And later we will be joined by Corey Gilmore, who is a former chair of the Governor's Council and is working on some new legislation. You can join our conversation if you have a question or you are someone who's looking to find out more about how you can help yourself or a family member access services in the state. You can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the local number is 550-8422, 550-8422. And you can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. So Jenna, back to you. What is the history of Disability Pride Month, and especially the name? Where did the name come from?
So the name came from President H.W., the father of George Bush, H.W., signed the Disability ADA Act long time ago, and it's been 31 years today, this month. Yeah, this month, and it's for they had to have a right for disabilities to be healed, and also it's like during FEMA is a good history person to fight for her disability rights too, and it's everybody should be here.
Oh, so one of the things that with the history of disability pride on even in Alaska level is,
can you hear?
Yeah. One of the things that's going on as far as disability pride, even in Alaska level, is the celebrations that we've been able to have within our state the last few years, which has changed the face of, just like Rick was saying, being able to celebrate who you are. For me, a lot of people look at me and they don't see disabilities because mine are more hidden. So I'm hard of hearing, I have autism, and I have seven other diagnoses that are both hidden in that way, and then also physical disabilities that I have that are hidden and not as, you know, present. But that's one of the things that with the history of the ADA and what we celebrate is just so important to be able to continue to move forward and celebrate who we are. Like I said earlier, and like Rick was saying, we all have something to offer.
Absolutely.
And it's a matter of getting that message.
And is there the actual celebration that takes place during this month? How long has that sort of been in place? Are you aware of when that kind of started?
So here in Alaska, I believe it was 3 years, I think, 3 years ago, and I've been involved with it from the very first time it hit the city of Anchorage.
I bet.
It was pre-COVID, so we had a beautiful outdoor celebration where there was people from all over, not just Anchorage, but all over the state of Alaska. Juneau, Kenai, Soldotna, like all these different cities came together, and it was a day where people with disabilities got to come together and be like this just family where nobody cared who you were because you were just you.
Yes.
And that was enough. And that was special. And speakers and, you know, I'm not sure if I'm saying this word right, but like dignitaries, like senators, House of Representative people that were coming out and supporting, you know, and advocating and being part of our community, you know, and joining families together. And so that's something that I, you know, even though we're online, we're still celebrating coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I happen to like about it being online that COVID did is it opened it up to more people that wouldn't necessarily be able to come in person, or to have, it's been amazing to have people from all 50 states join Alaska.
Yeah.
Because Alaska's on the forefront of making huge strides and changes, and there's other states that are looking at Alaska as being a number one example of how to for their own states. And so I'm really proud of that part.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. How does the Governor's Council assist Alaskans with disability and also to help educate others about those needs?
Well, I think Rick would be better in that position. So I'm going to let him take the floor on that.
Sure.
He has been a part of the Gov's Council in a way that I haven't. And like, you know, it has been said, we're all learning a little bit every day. But I just took over being chair,
yeah,
which I'm really honored and proud. But this is Rick's question.
All right, Rick.
So the Governor's Council is an organization
that advocates for disabilities.
That advocates and educates for disabilities.
For
people with disabilities to be able to improve their lives. As well as to educate and advocate for policy change.
To make sure that people have better
To make sure that people can have a better life.
Mm-hmm. Rick, I mentioned my dad in the open. He had the same job for about 37 years, which is probably unusual in the disability community. I'm sure it would have been much harder for him to have a good job if he hadn't stayed in the same area where he grew up. People knew him, and he was white, so he didn't face a racial barrier on top of disability discrimination. A write-up from last year noted the despairing facts of employment. The National Council on Disabilities estimates between 40 and 57 million people in the United States are disabled. But as of 2018, only 18% were employed. And statistics from the Census Bureau show that that number inched up a little bit in 2019, but only reached a little more than 19%. Even prior to the global mm-hmm. health crisis. Then the pandemic made things worse. Tell us a little about the difficulties that people with disabilities face in seeking employment.
It's very hard because you have to put yourself out there a lot more than a person without a disability.
Because
You have to show people that you can do the job. And in many ways, you have to put yourself and your performance above people without disabilities. Like myself, I have earned a master's degree in public administration. If I hadn't earned that degree, I don't think I would be where I'm at, where I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fantastic. Congratulations on a master's degree. That's an accomplishment for anyone to reach that level of education. And certainly you overcame a lot more than a lot of people to get that work done. So that is fantastic. And what an inspiration for other folks as well, Rick. Did the forced need for remote work during the pandemic open any new doors for people with disabilities for finding any kind of new employment? Did that help out? Rick, do you want to start, and then Heidi, you could pick up there?
Yeah, I did a lot of new doors.
Yes, I think it has opened a lot of new doors. Because a lot of people with disabilities
can't go out in the workforce.
Have kept going out in the workforce.
Can't.
Oh, can't go out in the workforce.
But they can work at home.
But they're able to work at home.
So I have a couple of friends.
So I have a couple of friends
who are brilliant. But they can't go out to the workforce.
But they can't go out to the workforce.
As a normal person. Because of their disability. But they're working at home. And they are thriving at work.
And they're thriving working at their in-home workplace.
That's fantastic. That's so good to hear. I had hoped that maybe that would be the result, is that there would be some, you know, new doors that open, because for people, especially people that have compromised immune systems and can't be in a congregate setting, if they could find that employment through remote work, that I'm glad to hear that that's opened some new doors. Heidi, do you want to pick up there?
I do. Thank you so much. So one of the things that I've discovered in talking with many people is there is a program out there a lot of you guys probably are familiar with now that we weren't pre-COVID, called Zoom. And it has been a miracle worker for people with disabilities to be able to work from home and work not only locally now, but on a national level.
Or international, yes.
Or international, because they're able to reach more people or talk with more people. And so as a part of being the I'm the 2021 Autism Speaks Advocacy Ambassador, so I've been able to work with people on a national scale who have disabilities, who are working with their own legislation within each state, and we all have been able to come together and work as a collective thing in order to get more of the national legislative policy in coordination with what goes on in the state of Alaska. One of the things that I take pride in is I'm actually the CEO of my business, which is called Puzzled with Purpose Autistically Inspired Creations. So one of the things I've been able to do is I sew from an autism perspective. I've had autistic people come in my home or work online, and we create things from an autism perspective. And then we actually go out into the community. We help, you know, people learn how to communicate, transition behavior skills through developing talents and becoming their own entrepreneurs onto the internet. And then being able to work from home, a lot of us didn't have access to the internet. And COVID made it possible for people with disabilities to get internet.
Right. Yeah.
In order to promote our talents and our abilities and get ourselves more out there into the community. And so it's actually been, to me, a positive outcome in the midst of having so much negativity with COVID.
Yeah, it's really nice to have one bright spot in the midst of what has scared the dickens out of all of us for many, many months now. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue our discussion about celebrating the Americans with Disabilities Act 31 years later after its passage as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
ConocoPhillips, investing in oil exploration and production and working to create economic opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, unlocking Alaska's energy resources.
Alaska USA has been on a journey with Alaskans since their first member account was opened in 1948. They'll be with you every step of the way, through the challenges of today and the hopes of tomorrow. AlaskaUSA.org. This message sponsored by Alaska USA.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing today that July is Disability Pride Month. We're talking with disability advocates about the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act more than 30 years ago, what that has meant for people who experience disabilities, and what work remains to be done. In the studio with us today is Rick Nelson. Rick is a member of the Governor's Council and a former chair of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. He is also the Advocacy and Outreach Manager for the Arc of Anchorage. And with him is Dean Paul, who is a friend and helps him interpret for him as he's speaking with us today. Also in the studio is Heidi Lieb Williams. Heidi is the current chair of the Governor's Council. And Jenna Crafton is also with us today. Jenna is a member of the Governor's Council and is also chairing the Disability Pride Month Planning Committee and helping to get the celebration off the ground. We're going to go to the phones for just a moment. Kathleen is in Ketchikan. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. I would just like to share a story of triumph using the ADA.
Great.
So I was employed with the school district, and I needed to time off every 3 months to take my adult son for cancer follow-up up to Alaska Native Medical Center. And his Medicaid restricted him to only be seen at Alaska Native Medical Center or here in Ketchikan. And so we were pretty boxed in. It wasn't like there were alternatives for him. And so I would have to take this time off, and I used up all my sick leave. So I asked for unpaid leave to do this, and mandated that he needed an escort. And my principal fired me. He said I was taking too much time off work. And so I had the documentation of all my asking him for the time off, and I even disclosed the nature of my son's disability. that he had cancer, and I didn't have to do that. I just had to say that he had a disability and needed, you know, an escort and my help. But I did it, went above and beyond. So I prepared all the documentation letter filed with the Human Rights Commission, and they interviewed me.
We're losing you a little bit, Kathleen.
Yeah, so,
are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, your connection was breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. So they said this will take months. It did. It took 10 months. But in the meantime, I got another job at a different school within the Ketchikan School District. And but what I got from the ADA, from filing with the Human Rights Commission, was I got all of my leave reinstated that I had lost subsequent to losing my job, my pay, all of my retirement was repaid that I missed out on because I didn't have a job up until the point of securing the second job. And even if I wanted to go back to my old position, I would have been able to. But of course, I didn't want anything to do
sure.
with that principal anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that have the gumption to, if you're discriminated against, follow through and, you know, do it. It didn't cost me a thing, but it did take time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kathleen, for sharing your story. And it's a drag that you had to go through that, but I'm so glad that you were able to bring some legal muscle and get it resolved. And I, that leads into a really good question. We're joined now by Corey Gilmore's on the line with us, and he's a former chair of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. And Corey, let's kind of pick up where Kathleen left off there. She got fired because of, you know, the need to help her son, the very real need to be there for her son. What can people who are being discriminated against or feel that they are, either because of their disability or, in like in Kathleen's case, a family member, what's their legal recourse and who can help them figure it out? She went to the Human Rights Commission, but what do you recommend for people when these situations come up? Where who should they call?
So when these situations come up, and we have, first of all, you have to be a really good advocate for yourself. You have to be really unwavering in that because you really have to push. But when these sort of situations come up, it's best to call the Disability Law Center.
Okay.
And they can totally help with situations like this.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that we link to contact information for the Disability Law Center on the Talk of Alaska post today so that folks can go there and find that information. Corey, you're working on legislation to help people who experience developmental disabilities have more independence. Tell us about this legislation. What does it do and who is it aimed at assisting?
So it's been passed into law. So it is a law and statute in Alaska. It's called the DD Shared Vision. And it basically says that all Alaskans who use the system, meaning the developmental disability system where we receive services, have the right to live the life they choose with the kind of support that they direct, which is very, very different from how supports are given. Typically, you sit around in a meeting and people talk about you for like an hour and decide for you what kind of service you're going to receive and what kind of job you're going to do. And at the end of this meeting, they take 5 minutes and ask you, what would you like to do? What would you like to do this year? And this kind of flips it all on its head. It says, no, 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 we're all human beings. I have a right to direct my life the way I choose with the help that I need.
So the first situation that you described sounded sort of somewhat condescending, like other people are deciding for you and then saying, oh, and by the way, is there anything you want to add about your own life? So,
exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so this sounds like a really positive change. Rick, you were nodding. Do you want to add in there about what this means, this change?
I also helped pass this bill. This means that people who are receiving Medicaid services
have the right to
direct their own life.
And they can
tell a provider agency and the state
how they want to live their own life.
How they want to live their own life.
Mm-hmm. So important. Yes, Heidi, please.
So one of the things I got to be involved in was helping to pass the Supported Making Decision Agreement Act a couple years ago here in Alaska. And it's another thing that basically states whether you have autism or cerebral palsy or you're quadriplegic or you have intellectual or developmental disabilities on any level, that whatever your strengths are, you're in charge of what your strengths are because you're capable of doing that. Whatever areas of weakness or struggles, let's say you have struggles with finances, but in other areas you're just, you know, you're fine like everybody else, then you can now actually just get specific help in that area so that you can continue. It's all connected as far as being able to direct your own supports and say, okay, this is when I need help, so I am reaching out to that specific person rather than having somebody go, oh, you need full guardianship and you can't do anything on your own and you can't be who you are and we're not going to allow you because guardianship dictates what you can and can't do and when you can do that or when you can't. And in my eyes, for people with autism, being autistic myself, it's not the route that you should be going. You should be pushing people, no matter who you are, to move forward, not stand still.
Absolutely, yes. Rick, did you want to add something?
And also, all of these services that we talk about,
we teach to individuals with IDD.
We teach this to individuals with IDD. And there's a conference each year that Rick hosts.
Peer Power.
And it's called Peer Power.
Yeah.
Peer Power Self-Advocacy Summit, and it's free. It's free for whoever wants to sign up. And it's statewide and uses technology for people that can't travel to Anchorage.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I was going to ask you about Peer Power, so I'm glad that you got that in there. Thanks so much. I wanted to remind folks that we're talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act today. We're also talking about Disability Pride Month, which is this month, and activities that will be happening on July 21st around the idea of raising awareness and helping to educate and continuing the advocacy for people to be able to live full lives and in control of their own lives. regardless of physical or intellectual challenges that they may have. This the Disability Act, the Americans with Disability Act, helps protect them and gives them legal rights. You can join our conversation at 1-800-478-8255. That's statewide, 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the local number is 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We have to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Alaska USA has been on a journey with Alaskans since their first member account was opened in 1948. They'll be with you every step of the way, through the challenges of today and the hopes of tomorrow. AlaskaUSA.org. This message sponsored by Alaska USA.
The Alaska State Library Talking Book Center has audiobooks and more for children and adults who are unable to read standard print. Learn more at talkingbooks.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Library Network.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We're discussing the Americans with Disabilities Act and Disability Pride Month, which is in July, and events that are happening with Rick Nelson and Heidi Lieb-Williams and also Jenna Crafton, all members and of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Heidi is the current chair. Rick is a former chair. And on the line with us, we have Corey Gilmore, who is a former chair of the Governor's Council also. Rick, you wanted to pick up a little more on the Peer Power organization, so tell us more about it.
Peer Power is a nonprofit organization for people with IDD, which is intellectual and developmental disabilities. And for the past 5 years, we've put on a self-advocacy summit to teach them about the resources available to them. As well as to acquire the skills to advocate for themselves and others.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also free to contact Rick over at the Ark of Anchorage. If they want help signing up or more information about the summit.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for letting us know more about Peer Power and how people can connect with you about that. One thing that I wanted to ask about is, and this might be an area, maybe Corey, that you want to weigh in on as well by phone, but buildings and other access in Alaska's urban areas is likely different than in rural communities. And what can you tell us about the challenges in remote communities for people experiencing disabilities? Can the Governor's Council help these residents somehow, or do they need to turn directly to the ADA and that law in order to try to force change and get some assistance? Corey, any thoughts about that?
Well, the good news is that most communities, most rural communities, if you grew up in a rural community in Alaska, they'll come together to help you out. So the first step might be to go get the town and say, you know, we really need a ramp here. Could we build one? And I bet you, and I don't have any personal experience in this, but my partner does. My partner grew up in Petersburg, and it's a small town, and they just built ramps wherever she wanted to go because her family and her mom and everybody knew that she needed that. And they all really loved her, so they came together to do that. So you might have to go to a lawyer, but it's really, really best to start with start with the people you live around and say, hey, can I get some help here?
Yeah, that's such a great idea, is just lean on your community. And as we know, I grew up in a tiny little village and everybody knew each other and everyone was willing to help each other out. So that's good news. I imagine that there are a lot of challenges, though, in areas especially where there aren't sidewalks, there aren't paved streets. It would be harder for people with mobility challenges to get around. Mm. So can Heidi and maybe Rick and Jenna, please, you jump in here as you see fit, too. Can the Governor's Council help these residents that are in places that might have some real challenges with old infrastructure that was built before the ADA was passed and maybe hasn't been, forced to catch up yet? Rick?
Well, the
The council doesn't work with people one at a time.
We want to change the
We work to advocate for change of the system as a whole.
I see.
We listen and hear from the public. What they are having issues with. See if we can educate a change about with a wider area for residents of the state.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Heidi?
So there are programs, I speak on behalf of autism, but there are programs where they have taken people and gone into villages and talked about how they could get the services or the understanding of certain things in regards to autism or other, even hidden intellectual developmental type disabilities also. And so that seems to help a little bit from the reports that I've personally had and the experiences about just being able to educate or have agencies come in and say, this is the area that we're able to help you with, but what is it that you, from their viewpoint, what is it that they need? Mm-hmm. What is it that you, again, with advocacy, you're advocating, whether you are a self-advocate or you're a parent advocate or you're an advocate because you are a direct service professional working with people. So everybody has a different, what I call a special role. And in order to connect the community. So for me with the autism ribbon, I say all the time, because the autism ribbon is puzzle pieces, and that each person is very unique and each person has something to contribute to the community. And what role is it that you're going to play to make Alaska as a whole better?
Absolutely. Jenna, I want to get you in here. We only have a few minutes left here. You clearly, we've talked before, you've traveled the world with your family. You have a great support network through your family and your friends. Your experiences have allowed you to grow personally so much and be outgoing and outspoken. What do you want people to know about your life and the challenges that you've faced and met head on? And then what are you going to most be celebrating this month?
So I'm celebrating Disability Pride in July, and my passion for have all disabilities to be equal with non-disabilities, to fight for everybody to have a right, and the next generation for everybody to be together, to be equal.
Absolutely.
and everyone, have jobs.
Absolutely. And just make sure that everyone is in control of their own lives. Corey, I want to get you back in here for just a moment. The legislation that passed that you were describing, we've seen media accounts recently of a well-known entertainer, Britney Spears, who has not been in charge of her own life. Would legislation like this help someone like Britney Spears get control back of her life from the courts and from her father? Is that what this kind of legislation is aimed at doing, is giving people their own power back?
Well, you know, we originally targeted people with developmental disabilities, but I wonder about that, because I wonder exactly if she has some hidden disabilities. And I suspect so, because otherwise you wouldn't have a conservator and a guardian and all these different things. So perhaps, you know, that is something that could help. I know a lot of people in similar situations.
Mm-hmm. So how should employers and employees discuss disabilities and the accommodations that may be needed for them? I would think that some employers might be nervous about what they can and can't ask legally of a prospective employee. What's the best way to handle this? What would you recommend? Heidi, and then Rick, you want to weigh in too?
Oh, so one of the things I've learned throughout my experiences is a lot of people with that are employers do not understand fully that by hiring individuals with disabilities, number one, to me, we put our heart and soul into everything we can do. And although we can't do maybe 100% of the job, we're really good at 75%, and we're going to do it better than anybody else on there. And so to be able to value what it is that we could actually bring to the table, I know that a lot of employers just don't get it. They don't understand. And so a lot of it just continued education, continued yeah. self-advocacy, continued speaking out and saying, this is, you know, what we need. This is what we desire. I see a future of people in the employment world being able to do more than my generation and my struggles.
Absolutely. Rick, finish us up here in about 30 seconds.
So you asked what they can do. Employers cannot ask you if you have a disability. Unless you disclose that to your potential employer. They can help you with reasonable accommodations. And it's not that much money. It's not normally that expensive to do a reasonable accommodation.
All right. Thank you. That's a great way to end us up today. I'm so appreciative of all of your time. Thanks so much to my guests today, Rick Nelson, Heidi Lieb-Williams, and also Jenna Crafton in the studio with us, Corey Gilmore by phone, and Dean Paul here to help interpret for Rick as we discuss Disability Pride Month, which is in July, and also the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is going on 31 years now of passage and helping people with disabilities lead full lives. Thanks to Tobin Shelby, our audio engineer. Our producer is Adeline Baxter. And on the phones and social media, Lex Trinan. I'm Lori Townsend. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.